Thank you, Pastor. In your Bibles tonight to Nehemiah chapter 13. I came through here one time, it's been 20 years ago probably, when Talbert Moore was with you in this meeting. I guess this same meeting. Okay. And then Brother Ennis and I were down at Immokalee together. Immokalee, Florida, with Brother Hoyt Holbrooks, long time ago. Brother Fonnie Woolard lives down in the Hollywood, or Sneed's Ferry. He just told me, he said, now they had you up here to preach and not tell jokes. Well, I got the drift. We have a kindergarten like y'all do here, and every Christmas time, all the kids bring gifts to the teachers. And some time ago, one of the kids brought a gift to the teacher, and she knew that the teacher knew that kid's parents owned a flower shop. And so he handed the teacher that box and said, teacher said, I will give this to you for Christmas. And she said, what's in there? He said, gifts. And so she shook the box and she said, I bet it's a flower arrangement. He said, that's right. Well, here comes this other girl, and her dad and mother owned a bakery. And she said, teacher, I want to give you this this gift for Christmas. And she said, what's in there? She said, you have to guess. So she shook that box and she said, I bet it's cookies. And she said, that's right. How did you guess? And then the other boy came up and she knew that this boy, daddy owned a liquor store. And so he handed her this box and he said, I will give this to you for Christmas. She said, what's in there? He said, guess. So she shook it. And when it did, water came out of it. So she licked it and she said, I believe it's wine. He said, no, you're wrong, teacher. And so he said, guess again. So he licked again. She licked again. She said, I bet it's vodka. He said, no, said, guess again. So she licked again and she said, I give up. He said, it's a puppy. Isn't that just like children? That's just like children, isn't it? They said this fellow, had a horse and a, now let me get, I'm new right here. Now, I know a lot of you folks, but a lot of you folks I don't know. This boy had a horse and a dog, and he put it on a trailer and went down the hill and he was going too fast, and he flipped that trailer over. Him and the horse and the dog almost got killed. Well, up came a deputy sheriff who loved animals. And he went over to that horse, and that horse was just a moaning, and he felt so sorry for that horse, he just took out his gun and said, pal, kill that horse. And then he went over to the dog, and the dog was in bad shape. He knew he couldn't live, so he took out his gun and, pal, shot the dog. Well, the little boy said, son, how you doing? He said, I've never felt better in my life. I wish I looked like Brother Ennis. Isn't that wonderful? I asked my wife, I said, have you seen my belt around the house? She said, does it go around the house now? I had to say it does. Nehemiah chapter 13 tonight. I was with Brother the pastor last week and then down in Vass, and many of you fellas, I know many of you fellas, and I'm just filler. You know what sheetrock filler is? I'm just filler for this meeting. Brother Craig is from, he lives in the Mount Airy area, and I grew up in the Mount Airy area in a tobacco patch, and of course, as a long time ago, and it's a blessing to preach anywhere. I love to preach. Don't you preachers all love to preach? How in the world can we preach if we don't love to preach? I don't know of anything bad about preaching unless you strike out, and then that's bad. I've gone back to motel rooms, and I heard Brother Howell say this is the truth. I've gone back to motel rooms, and I felt so low, I could have crawled up on the door without even opening the door and went inside and went to sleep. I felt, you know how it is. We all had those times. And I hope we sympathize with each other. But I hope tonight the Lord will help me be a blessing to you. Father, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you for such a wonderful, beautiful place here that you've placed the man of God for all these four decades, I guess, plus, Lord, and in that wonderful, Lord, in that wonderful, Father, Lord Dr. Lee Robson said, one wife and one church. Arthur Blackman said, one wife and one church. And it's good, Lord, to see people who just go to a church and stay there and stay there and stay there. And Lord, I bless your name tonight for these people supporting their pastor and holding his arms up and him being here for all these years and now being a blessing to all these preachers and folks that come in for this meeting. And now, Lord, tonight I pray that you'll be pleased with our effort in Jesus' name. Amen. One verse tonight, Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the officers thereof. But it does say over in verse 22 the same, something similar. He says in verse 22, remember me. In verse 29, he says, remember them. And in verse 31, he says, remember me, O my God, for good. But I want to focus in tonight on verse 14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this. Wipe not out my good deeds I have done for the house of my God and for the officers thereof. This is not really going to speak to the preachers much because we must have loved the house of God. We probably wouldn't be preaching tonight. But our young people, maybe God will speak to their heart about this. This many people here, I'm sure that some people here that does not feel like they should about the house of God. I'd say so. I don't know where I got this from. I don't know where, if I don't know where who taught me this. But as a young Christian, I love the house of God. I say when I was 20 years old, 52 years ago, in Lexington, and I love the church. I was at every service. I never give the pastor any trouble. I was there for visitation. I was in the choir. I was there cleaning up places. Whatever it was, I love the church. Yes, sir. And here I see Nehemiah says, remember me, O my God, concerning this. And wipe not out my good deeds I have done for the house of my God. Now this is tender to me. Here's a tough, rough man named Nehemiah who was not afraid of anybody or anything. I've got a lot of preacher friends that's in the Marines. I was in the National Guard. They took a test to get in the National Guard and failed it and had to go to Marines. That's what I tell them. I have a dear friend been in the hospital 8 weeks up in Knoxville with open heart surgery and everything went bad. He was in the Marines for several years, Brother Ralph Benfield. Many of you know him. I told Ralph, I said, had I had that same surgery with the National Guard, I could just probably walk by the doctor's office and shot the laser out there and kept on walking. Of course, he didn't like that. He wanted to fight about that. But anyway, I just think this fellow here he must have been a Marine. He was frightened by no one or nothing, but yet he said, remember me. You know, as you get older, some of you are where I'm at. I used to think I could just get it. I could handle it. I've been there 41 years, and I just felt like I could. I'd tell my family, I can do it. But when you get 72 years old, you don't think you can do anything. I don't know how this pastor feels about that, but I'm afraid of some of these things now. But I noticed Hezekiah said, remember me. When he was facing death from Isaiah, he said, remember me. I remember Samson there, his last prayer he prayed. He said, Lord, remember me. You remember that? There in Judges, maybe chapter 16, he said, remember me. And I'll tell you, at our age now, we older people, sure to goodness, you're the same way I am. Sometimes I say, Lord, you know how I used to be. You know how I used to get up 5 o'clock and read the Bible an hour and pray an hour and then hit the road and tackle all these, run all these things around here. We have a school and all that other stuff. And I said, brother, I can't do that now. Lord, remember me. And some of these days you may have to say the same thing. Lord, remember me. But I say, I want God to remember me. Oftentimes with my back to the wall, with your back to the wall, with your children. My wife and I have 4 children, 19 grandkids. One of our sons is pastors in Kernersville, one pastor in Monroe, and my son is preaching for me there at Tabernacle tomorrow, Wednesday night, and I've got to be in Southport. But I just say that we now need God to remember us. Most Christians face things with their kids they never thought they'd face. Most preachers have. And I say, we say, Lord, please remember me. Well, don't you notice what he said? He said, oh God, remember me concerning this. Twice he said concerning this. And what is this? What is this? This? What does he say? Lord, remember me concerning this. What had Nehemiah done that he wanted God to remember this? He says now what I have done for the house of my God and the officers thereof. His love and his zeal for the house of God would be classified by his enemies as an overkill. But he was in the will of God. And thank God he did have such a love for the house of God that he didn't mind overkilling. I tell you, when a pastor tries to keep the house of God clean and keep sin out of it, I'm going to back him up. I'm not going to let his members come and talk to me about him. I know some preachers who've done that, and Sunday it caved in with them later on. And I'm going to back him up. And we're so glad tonight that many of us can say, remember me concerning the house of my God, my good deeds, he says, my good deeds for the house of my God. And the most important place in North Carolina, the most important public place, is not Food Line or the Capitol, it's the church. Amen. That's right. Amen. The most important place, public place in this world is the church. I was saved in the church. I was married in the church. I love, and many of you the same way. Now, you know, I'm glad I could have been saved elsewhere, but I was saved at church. And I want God to remember me about these things, about the house of God. I know many people, you know some of them too, that I'm telling you know this is true, that wants to say, Lord, would you please forget how I done at church? Would you forget how I treat that pastor? Would you forget how I treat that church? Would you forget all those times I went in late? Most of us have people come in late every service, the same ones. Now, that may not bother you, but that tobacco patch fella, it bothers him. It bothers me. And then you never know where they're going to be at on Sunday. That bothers me. And then they want favors. I guess I'm going to give them favors, but I don't like to. You know, you try to keep peace in the camp. I remember Tommy Balcom. Tommy's up in Canada. He's a missionary up there where Tonto grew up at. And he was around the church when he first got saved there one Sunday morning. He hung around the church a lot, and he'd build the baptistry rooms. We never give him a dime. He'd do all kind of dig holes for plants there. He told me this week, last week, he said, I went to the eighth grade for 2 weeks. That's all I went to a public school. And then when he got saved, of course, he went out to Tabernacle Bible College. But some of you probably know Tommy, but I believe Weston may be supported. But of all things, God called Tommy to preach. He loved the church. Amen. And now he's been up there on that Indian Reserve 23 years, amen, preaching the Word of God with that Indian church. Got about 55 people almost. He said all but four of them had got saved there. How about that? I just say God honors that. Brother Arnold Griffin, many of you know Arnold's down here at Wilmington, Pastor's Fellowship Baptist Church in Wilmington on 132. And Brother Arnold would come to our church at night. He was an engineer there in town. He'd come to our church at night. I tell you one thing, if you touch them bubs right there, you'll get your hand off there. Arnold would come to our church at night, and it's a hot pulpit. One thing about it, I don't have to worry about getting hot. This pulpit's hot. He'd come to our church on Friday night, go along the road out there and pick up trash. He's an engineer there at Yale Company, and just picking up trash and trying to make everything look nice. And 33 years ago, 34 years ago, they called me and said, we need a pastor down here. I sent him down there. They called him. He's been there 33 years or maybe 34 years as a pastor. He loved the house of God. Amen. Yeah, it all goes together. It goes together. And Jay Shannon out of our church, he's out in Casa Grande, Arizona. And God saved old Jay. And Jay would come up there and put in the heat. He was a good heat and air conditioning man. He'd put in the heat and air conditioning. The church wouldn't take a penny for it. Buy the equipment wholesale. Put that terracotta piping on the floor before we poured the cement. And put that in. And now he's been out there as a missionary to those Indians for, I think, about 17 years. I tell you, his son's a missionary out on the reserve. I tell you, God blesses people who love the house of God. Right down here, I just look on the map, want to see, Blues Creek, Campbell University. One of our people there at Tabernacle, I knew when she was a little girl. And she got grown, got, got cantankerous and fought the church and fought the church. And it wound up, her boy, a good boy, he started going astray after they left our church when she was a junior. And coming out at Campbell University, and Tom Collins, the dean of men, told my son, said, when he come down here, he got involved with whiskey and women. And the second year he went down there, about the first week of school, he died on his knees with liquor in his body at some girl's dormitory or something. And he's buried up there at Monroe. And I tell you, and she fought the church. I don't know of anybody tonight who's got a good marriage who fought the church. I don't know anybody who's got children serving God. I'm sure there's some, but I guarantee you the majority of people who's fought the church has kids who's rebellious and as evil as they are. God loves the church. Amen. I don't know who taught me that, but I'm glad God loves the church. And somehow or another, I learned to love the church. But they have the curse of God on them. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, the curse causeless shall not come. I tell you, for the man, listen, I hope you get this now. For a man to mess with a church and fight the church and kick the church, you're not kicking Food Line. You're not kicking the courthouse. You're not kicking old Barney Frank. It's bad business to fight the church and fight the pastor. You know that's right. And here Nehemiah said, remember me how I treated the house of God. Now I'm going to tell you how I treated the house of God in a moment, but I want to finish up my thought here. God does remember how you and I treated the church. And I tell you, God wants me and you both to have the utmost respect for the house of God. I knew a young man years ago. He's just an ignorant old boy. But he got saved, and there's about 25 preachers under that same preacher. And that boy there, though, gave his very heart to the Lord. And he'd go around and scrape snow off the walkway in the mornings when it had come snow. He'd go down to the basement and pray. I've heard his pastor tell about this. He'd go to the basement and pray before service on Sunday morning and pray for the service and cry before God before people got there. And just whatever he could do for the Lord, he did it. The pastor said he tithed. In fact, the pastor said one time he got behind on his tithe, went down to the bank and borrowed money. Just a little whippersnapper. He went to the bank, and that back then they said, "What you want this money for?" He told that Hinkle fellow, I believe he said, "I want to catch up on my tithe." Hey. I about guarantee that banker went home that day and told his wife, said, "You ain't gonna believe what I just had to happen." This little boy came in. He looked like a kid, but he's about 22 years old. He said, he came in wanting to borrow some money. Wanted to borrow $250. Said, "Mama, ask that boy what you want this money for." He said, I want to catch up on my tithe. And I heard that preacher say that boy never got behind his tithe again. But that boy gave his all. And out of those 25 preachers, if you ask his pastor, I've heard him say this. Out of all those 25 preachers that came out from under his ministry, I've heard him say that when any five of them together used like that one boy who loved the house of God. Amen. I'll tell you, if I was a young man tonight, I'd do all I could to love the church, clean the windows, clean the commodes. That's right. Be there every service, pray for the preacher, back up the preacher. That's right. I'll tell you, I want God to use me. I don't have the curse of God on me at all. And that's exactly what happened when people curse the church. But it happens to the children. You know that's right. Well, I'm not the only one here that's been at a place a long time and got a thousand illustrations about how people would fight different ones and what would happen. We had a young man at our church. He didn't love the church. He's a good old boy. He went finished up state, worked for Wells Fargo Bank, and this happened less than a year ago. And he's coming down 601 from Concord to Monroe, and a fellow come across the bridge on the wrong side and hit him. Killed that boy, 35 years old. He's buried behind our church, between the church and my house, and I preached his funeral. But he didn't have the right estimate of the church house. Yes, sir. I wept and told our church this. I preached for men over in Cramerton. How many knows where Cramerton is? Cramerton, Gaston County. I preached for a boy over there at Free Will Baptist Church, largest Free Will Baptist Church in that area. He ran over 500, beautiful auditorium, and had over 500 in his Christian school. His grandpa had built the church, and his daddy was pastoring. He died on the operating table from operating heart surgery. And this boy was 46 years old when this happened. I guess he was about 35 when I preached for him, 38. And he got messed up with a girl out of our Christian school, graduated from there, went to Bob Jones and came back and became his secretary. And they embezzled some money. And he's such a humble feller. Had a bad marriage. His wife, he told him when his dating said, you shouldn't marry that girl. But he loves people. He's humble, broken-hearted feller. And his wife left him when this happened. Of course, he had to leave the church. Of all things, Doug was his first name. Doug remarried. They just had got back from their anniversary of, I don't know if it's his first, second, third anniversary, a trip. And they sit down in the living room, and she said, I'm going to go down to the store and get us some groceries because we've been out of town now for some time, a week, some days. While she was gone, Doug went in the closet and hung himself, 46 years old. I so wept about that. His friends told me, he said, he couldn't bear the guilt. He just couldn't handle that guilt. And I know the church. Listen, we all know the church. We know how this, I promise you, if Doug had got around the altar, now he couldn't get back here. He couldn't go back and take over that church where he'd been all his life. But if old Doug had got around the altar and sobbed before God, I guarantee you that church would have forgiven him. I know how the church people are. I've been saved 52 years. And they wouldn't restore him back on the pulpit. Of course they wouldn't. But they'd forgive him. They'd love him. They'd cry with him. They'd cry with him. And I told my wife, you just can't leave your brain in the next room over. It goes with you. And can you imagine? Can you imagine what a man has to go through before he gets in a, puts a noose around his neck in a closet, 46 years old, and hangs himself? I guess it'd be like me and you. I've spent my last year, 5 decades plus, almost all the time in the house of God. I lived right behind our church 37 years. I got in the inner circle when God saved me. And can you imagine if me and you brought reproach on our Lord and got sideways with our church? We've all seen it hundreds of times probably. But I say, God loves the church. And I love the church. You love the church, you would be here. But oh, isn't it wonderful to know that the first people takes us back into church, people. I had a fellow I preached for in Guilford County, in Greensboro, actually. And he had a girl in his church got pregnant. And he said, I'm not going to give her no shower. I told him, called him by his name. I said, you better give her a shower. I said, one day she may sing in your choir. I said, the first, listen, now hear this. The first people besides mama and daddy that folks that go astray should know still loves them is the church. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm not, anybody who knows me knows I'm not up for that. I'm probably stronger than many independent Baptists and convictions. But I tell you, I want to be strong in love too. Amen. I found with my children that 5 pounds of love, 5 pounds of discipline and 150 pounds of love works. Isn't that right? Love, it works, but I just say, here, Nehemiah said, remember me concerning this, and I'll tell you what he said, why he said this. Eliashib was the priest. Eliashib had been on Nehemiah's side. He helped build the sheep gate. But then Eliashib got with the wrong crowd in the church, for lack of a better term, in the church. He got indebted to the wrong crowd. You got to watch that. You got to watch that. We all have to watch that. And he got indebted to the wrong crowd. And so one of his grandchildren married Sanballat's child. Well, Sanballat and Tobiah was a bunch of, I think there's Muslims. But anyway, there's crooks. And so as a result of that, Nehemiah was out of town. And Tobiah came by, and Eliashib, who controlled the house of God where the frankincense and so forth was, he emptied out that room and put Tobiah's furniture in that room. That wicked man, he was indebted to him because of the marriage. And he fixed him up a room there. And when Nehemiah came by, you remember the story? Nehemiah took everything Tobiah owned and threw it out in the street. Glory to God. He emptied out that room. He couldn't understand why Eliashib, who had been faithful to the man of God in the church, had taken this wicked Tobias and put his furniture in the house of God, let him live in there when he'd been fighting. Tobiah was the one who said, if a fox gets up on this wall, it'll fall in. Tobias was at joined old Sanballat in opposing, always wrathful, everything Nehemiah done. Now I know that some of you preachers, all y'all not the sweetest people in town. Some of you just like me, they accuse you sometimes of overkilling. Well, John the Baptist overkill. Jesus probably overkill. Nehemiah overkill. Whatever it takes to keep the house of God clean. I've been there a long time, and it gets dirty. It's hard to keep stuff out of the church house. But after going around and preaching a few places and find out how some churches are nowadays, you thank God that you have been overkilling. Amen. 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 And so Nehemiah threw all his clothes and his household stuff out, and he still had some fight in him. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Years ago, I was saved in 1958, November 14th, 58. Back in those days, I'm telling you, the preachers back in those days did not try to let people enjoy the church. You know that's right. And where I was from, I'm telling you, where I was from, you left church feeling like you'd been cut all to pieces, but you want to get right with God. And so I was used to that. But I say, I'm not going to fight the church by the grace of God. And I'm sure that folks here don't want to do that today. But then there's something else, and I'm through. He said, remember me concerning this. The first thing was when he threw out Tobiah out of the house of God. The second thing was when he put those treasures there he put treasurers over the treasuries that had some confidence in. He didn't put them in because they were his favorite people. He said, we're going to put people that's honest. It's there in verse number 13. For they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute them to their brethren. He put people in office that was not just his friends. Don't you think that the most pure place in the county, the purest place in the county in our operation should be the house of God? Yes, I believe that's right. Somebody asked me, I guess they asked your pastor, how do you stay there so long? Well, one thing, God let me, but number two, the people let me. You know, if you're going to stay at one place a long time, you about to have to pay your bills. You can't be flirting with women. You got to have some integrity. They got to know that you love them and love the Lord. I mean, several things involved there. But I say it's wonderful to people at the church house to know that my pastor is going to do what's right, not just over friendship. You know, I moderated meetings for years. I quit now, but I moderated hundreds of meetings, I guess, over the years. And I tried to keep that favoritism out of it. God knows that's true. I preach a lot of revivals, but I try to keep all that favoritism out of it. I try not to call people. I've had friends, I've preached 40-some revivals for the same man. I don't think I've ever called him one time to preach at the fellowship meeting. It wasn't because he couldn't preach. I don't know what was behind it. God just didn't lead me that way. But I say, isn't it wonderful to have people who operate with integrity and with as little favoritism as possible in the church house? I think that's good. And Nehemiah put these treasures there in the office to distribute to their brethren. It was people who was counted faithful. And he said, I want you to remember what I've done for the offices thereof. Now listen, you younger men, try to operate as pure as you can. Sometime your wife will say, what you going to do if this backfires? I believe in the hands of God. I believe we're in the will of God. If we're in the will of God, God take care of that. Amen. Sure. Sometime I've done things that could have been just like you have, that could have caused me some trouble. But I just trust in God. Where's faith at? Somewhere we got to trust God in this thing. And so that's what we need to do, is just trust him. Like, I was up in Michigan preaching, Canton, Michigan. And this quartet came up to sing, and they had a bunch of instruments, and I like instruments. That don't bother me. The more the merrier. We have 25, 15 of them going on all the time at our church. But this other thing bothered me. They sang on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I was there through Wednesday night. They didn't come back Monday night. They didn't come back Tuesday night. I asked the pastor, I said, where's that quartet? He said they probably had some other places to sing. He said, I about got to book them to get them here. He said, they're members here. Now, that, none of my business what you do. They wouldn't be members of my church long.
Amen.
They wouldn't sing for me. If they can't come to church, they can sing wherever they're going to go to church at, and then go there on Sunday and join up and give their tithe. Most of them folks don't tithe anyway. That's right. That's the truth. We have a staff quartet, four men that work there, and they sing, and they're also clean cut and sharp people. Sometimes I'll have folks come to me and say, "Preach, I could tell you're so proud of them." I said, "Well, I don't like that word, but I was pleased with them. I want people to know that here at Tabernacle, people that work at Tabernacle, they've got to have a testimony. Amen? Isn't that right? Work in the house of God." I mean, I know we got all kind of folks in our churches like you got, but I'm not going to hire them all. I want to hire the kind. I want to hire the kind that I think have a good testimony, look like Christians, and act like Christians. Amen. Well, I love the house of God. I think it's such a great thought here. Remember me concerning what I've done for the house of God. One day you're going to get all kind of, take all kind of pills and all kind of diseases and come down the end of the way, and the doctor's going to come in and say he's in bad shape, and you're going to be so happy that you can say, "Lord, remember me, how I've done the house of God." How about that? I don't know of another place in the Bible just like this where it goes back to what you've done for the house of God. I've said this, and I mean this. I'd be like some of our people. I'd send my little teenage boys down to the church and say, "Pastor, would you like for my boy to mow the yard? Here's a weed eater, Pastor. I brought my weed. You want me to weed it around the cemetery, the graveyard, the graves, and around the buildings? We don't charge anything, Pastor. We just want to teach our kids to love the house of God. What will it be so that 10 years from now we can say, 'Lord, you remember what Samuel and Philip and Job did around the house of God. You remember that, don't you, Lord? You remember how they cleaned out the commodes. Didn't charge a dime. Didn't want no butt money. You remember how they went out in the car on rainy days and took an umbrella and said, 'Here, let me help you get in the house of God.'" Yes. I'll tell you, God will bless that. Amen. That's what we're interested in. I'm interested in God's blessings. Amen. Yeah. And I'm sure you are. And so remember me concerning the house of my God. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you that we preachers have memories of giving our all as young men to your house. You know that's right, Lord. I expect almost every preacher here as a young preacher who maybe now is wore out and has aches and pains and different things. But Lord, they remember when the house of God was everything to them. They were pure. They were pure about the house of God. They were pure with their money and the tithe of the house of God. And Lord, these young people here, they see us now. They say, "My," they pass by the church and the Fellowship Baptist Church, say, "My, God really blessed Brother Ennis. He's got it made, hasn't he?" But Lord, Brother Ennis can say, "Lord, remember how I treated the house of your house as a young man." I pray tonight the Holy Ghost would speak to other young people's hearts here, that they'd go the same route in Jesus' name. Amen.